Chapter 21, Organizational Systems. At least Dad liked to go to the candy store as much as Bat did. That was one good thing about every other weekends. One Saturday morning, after breakfast and dishes, Dad pulled their bicycles out of his garage. Unlike the garage at home, which was twice as big and four times as crowded, Dad's garage was labeled and organized. Helmets were kept in a clear plastic bin marked helmets. The bikes, instead of leaning up against a wall or on each other, were pulled neatly into a bike rack like the one at school, and Dad always arranged them in order of size, left to right, large, medium, small. A metal rack in one corner held car supplies, spare containers of oil, a big jug of windshield wiper fluid, a little vacuum that sat ready on its charger. There was a tool bench, too. An assortment of wrenches swung from the hooks across the front. Coffee cans held screws and nails. Sometimes Dad let Bat pound nails into pieces of scrap wood, as long as he wore safety goggles. Bat approved of Dad's garage. It was just under a 1 mile ride to the Sugar Shack, Bat's favorite candy store. To get there, Bat and Janie and Dad rode out of Dad's apartment complex and down a bike path towards Central Quincy. They crossed the river on a bridge made just for bicycles and pedestrians before turning onto 3rd Street. While Bat was double-checking the lock on his bike outside the Sugar Shack, he heard someone say his name. It was Israel, from school. It took Bat a second to figure out who he was because Bat had never seen Israel anywhere but at school and never on a weekend. "What are you doing here?" He was smiling in a way that showed almost all his teeth. He had, Bat noticed, a piece of something green, maybe cucumber, stuck in between the two front teeth. "We're going to buy some candy," Bat said. "Cool," Israel said. Then he said, "We just had brunch next door," and he pointed to the Broken Yoke Cafe. A man and a woman were pushing through the door just then, and they waved. Israel waved back. "That's what I would have guessed," Bat said. "You have food in your teeth." Israel's smile fell away. "Okay," said Bat. "See you Monday at school." "Hey, wait." Bat waited. "I was wondering about that skunk. Do you still have him?" "Of course I do," said Bat. "Then?" "Well, not right now because I had to spend the weekend with my dad." "Oh," said Israel. "I didn't know your parents were divorced." Bat didn't say anything to that because it wasn't a question. Still, Israel stood there on the sidewalk like he was waiting for Bat to say something. The grown-ups who had waved at Israel walked over and stood behind him, and now it felt like all three of them were waiting for Bat to say something or to do something. "Well, goodbye," Bat said, and he walked away. "Hey, sport, is that a friend from school?" Dad's face looked just about as excited as it looked when he was watching baseball. "Bat doesn't have friends," Janie said, but not in a mean voice, just a matter-of-fact voice. "I'm sure that's not true," Dad said. "It's not true," Bat answered. "Lawrence is my friend, and Mr. Grayson." "Oh, Bat, grown-ups don't count," Janie said. Then she pulled open the door to the candy store and held it for Bat to pass inside. The Sugar Shack was an exceptional candy store. It had bins full of M&Ms separated into colors. So if you wanted exactly 11 greens and 11 blues, but no yellows, reds, or oranges, as Bat did, you could get exactly that. Along the back wall were all the gummies. Gummy bears, gummy worms, gummy sharks, gummy hippos, gummy rhinos, gummy jellyfish, gummy dinosaurs, gummy frogs, gummy sea stars, gummy zebras, gummy camels, gummy parrots, gummy crabs. Bat didn't like gummy candy, but he always got one gummy sea star anyway. He liked the way it felt in his hand. Big barrels full of hard candies formed the aisles. Jawbreakers and gumballs and candy necklaces and rock candy and ring pops. Just inside the door was a case of jelly beans arranged in a rainbow of colors. Near the counter stood a candy bar display with all the ordinary stuff, but harder to find candy bars too, like violet crumble bars and Zagnut bars. You sure inherited my sweet tooth, Dad said, loading up his own plastic bag with jelly beans. Actually, Bat said, teeth have nothing to do with it. People taste with their tongues and their noses. You stick that gummy bear up your nose to taste it? Janie asked. Her bag was full of a mishmash of candies that didn't make any sense to Bat. It's a gummy sea star, he said, and no, the way something smells is part of how you taste it. Well, I guess that's why people don't eat skunk meat, Janie said. Pee-you! She wrinkled up her nose and stuck out her tongue. Thor doesn't stink, Bat said. He doesn't even spray yet. But he will, Janie said. I hope not until after we give him to the rescue. Maybe we'll keep him, Bat whispered. Sport, your mom can't adopt every stray animal that comes into her clinic, Dad said. She'd have a zoo if she did. We won't adopt all of them, Bat said, just this one. Mom said we're only going to keep him for a couple more weeks, Janie told Dad, but Bat is getting too attached. Bat started bouncing on the balls of his feet. He clutched his plastic candy bag in his fist. It crinkled in a way that bothered his ears. So he loosened his fingers and let it go. Blue and green M&Ms bounced and rolled across the floor of the sugar shack. Sport, you've got to be more careful, Dad said, his eyebrows pointing in at his nose. Bat felt tears welling up in his eyes. He swiped at his face with the arm of his shirt and turned toward the door. Under the sole of his shoe, he felt the crunch squish of a flattened M&M.